Blog Talk Radio.
That's the Norm at Night music. Coming to you live every Tuesday from right here in Bowie, Maryland. Got a good show lined up for you tonight. We're going to talk about one thing. And that one thing is cell phones and school. I was just listening to another show last night. And the topic was how to get cell phones admitted into school. Well, first of all, how many of you out there think cell phones should be used in school? I mean, I'm sure there's a lot of you that don't think we should have cell phones at all in school. We've got about 58 minutes to talk about that whole thing. There are almost as many cell phones existing in the world as there are people in the world, and that's a pretty astounding thing. Asia is just covered and peppered with cell phones. They've exploded across Africa. They've become an absolute tool of distance education. Now, the real question becomes, how should we use them in our American classrooms? Or any classrooms, for that matter, but American in particular. I'm not 100% sure, but the one thing I do, without any question, when I... kids come into my classroom, the first thing I say is, have you got a connectable device? You know, connect it. And people usually do. Well, what do we do with them when we have them in class? What can we do with a cell phone that we don't usually normally do? Well, if you have some ideas and you want to join in the conversation, you can call me at 347-945-6713, and we can have a chat about it. If you want to call me and rip my head off because you don't think cell phones should be used in the classroom or in school or at home or in the car or anywhere else. And I do have friends like that. One in particular, let me go see, he never calls in. He always comes to the chat room when he dials up Norm at Night. Let's see if he's there. Well, there's nobody in the chat room. So I hope everybody's just listening. There's a couple of things I think are necessary for to use cell phones in a classroom. First of all, you gotta have a cell phone. I have a cell phone. I have an iPhone. I also have a Droid, though I don't use the Droid near as often as I use the iPhone. I like the iPhone a lot. In fact, I think I like the iPhone much better than the iPad, because, yes, I have an iPad, too. But one of the most important things that has to happen in a school, and I think it should happen in all schools everywhere in the United States, is that the school has to allow students to bring their own devices for technology work. But even more important than that, the school needs to have robust universal broadband access any place in the school. The school needs to be in the cloud. That's another thing that makes the cell phone available. You have to be able to get in the cloud. The cell phone increases the number of communication connections that exist within the whole school. And I think they're valuable in that way. Everyone knows about the tragedy that occurred at the high school in Ohio yesterday. And I hope that everyone realizes the important role that the cell technology played in probably keeping that incident from becoming worse. And as we're talking along, I'm waiting for a caller. That's it. Just give me a call, 347-945-6713. The other subject you're more than welcome to talk about tonight is what's going on in the Michigan and Arizona primaries. Let me get my Twitter up here and see if there's any word yet. It's really interesting. Here's a tweet from Mark Halpern. Regardless of Michigan outcome, O-12 GOPers winning states have so far done a bad job compared to 2008 Obama Clinton in using election nights to message. Yeah, I guess the Obama Clinton the Obama Clinton primary was a lot, though it was vicious and contested in hard ways, it didn't tear the Democratic Party apart. This primary is indeed tearing apart the Republican candidacy. It's really awful. Oh, here's a great report on the primary from a tweeter that I follow. Her name is DC Debbie, and she's always funny. Here's a summary. Flip-flop is beating the uterus police, and the crazy libertarian is ahead of the serial philanderer. In other words, Romney's leading, Santorum is second. The crazy libertarian, that's Ron Paul, and the serial philanderer, well, we all know that's Newt Gingrich. Ed Schultz says that NBC projects Arizona for Romney, but that Michigan is still too close to call. Must be overwhelming in Arizona because the polls haven't even closed yet. Wow. It's pretty amazing. There's another one of my favorite tweet followers. Cleo the Leo. I guess she's a Southern girl because she says that her speech gets decidedly more Southern when she's excited, angry, or high on sugar. Everybody's a Southern person, although I haven't lived above the line in since 1975. So that's 25, 35, 37 years. Wow, that's better than half my life. So I don't know, does that make me a Southerner? So what kind of things can you use cell phones for in class? That's really a really interesting question. Hey, Colts, why don't you give me a call? It's lonely talking here myself. I see you're in the chat room now. We're talking about the primary and telephones and all kind of communication and all kinds of good stuff. I'll tell you one thing I think people should use cell phones for when they're in, when they're learning for sure, is to take pictures of everything and anything. I saw a sign today when I was in Best Buy, and I wanted to remember it, and my first instinct was to take out a notebook and write it down. Instead, I took my cell phone out and took a picture of it. Amazing use. So you're reading, you know, you're reading something in that ancient thing called a book, and you see something you want to remember, so you take a freaking picture of it. Teacher writes notes on the blackboard. Why copy them down in a notebook? Snap a picture of it before they get erased. Once you got something digital, don't ever turn it back analog. That's for damn sure. No sense arguing about any question of fact in class anymore. If you got cell phones and you can use them, there they are. Take them out. Use them for everything. Take pictures. Take videos. Use the note feature right in the cell phone. Talk to them. Collaborate with them, with your classmates. School's not about being by yourself anymore. And the phone, it connects you. It's a new kind of networking, a new kind of connectivism. There's all kinds of good stuff you can do with those phones. Oh, man. I don't know. Let me see who's in the chat room right now. We've had a big fall off of late, and I guess it's because the shows haven't been too interesting. But I'm sure going to try to make them interesting. You know, I'm 15 minutes in tonight, and it's no fun if people aren't calling. Hold on. Here's some music while I answer my phone.
Killing me.
yeah. Sorry. My family is not at home tonight, and they're coming home, and that's what that call was about, and I had to take care of it. Well, I'm back here. Let's see what's going on in the chat room. Come on, Colt. Remember, if you want to talk directly to me, it's 347-945-6713, but Twitter's just roaring away. I got a bunch of new tweets here. Let's see if there's anything interesting for the show. Cleo the Leo. Crossover Democrats are backing Santorum. Cleo is... I'm going to tell Cleo to call the show. Maybe Cleo, call Norm. At night and give us your scoop on crossover Dems and the whole primary process. 347-945-6713 or listen. Anybody wants to call, you know? We're talking about cell phones in schools. We're talking about, actually, we talk about guns in schools if you want. It's a whole new, world. Now, I guess the number of fatalities are up to 3 in that shooting in Ohio. Very sad. Very, very sad. Suppose I should, if I'm going to do what everybody else does, I should ask everybody to pray. Very, very difficult. It looks like Romney's winning. Hard to tell. I don't know. I don't know where to go look. I was hoping we could talk about the use of cell phones, not just school, but everywhere. I mean, cell phones are everywhere. The only place you can't use them is in school. Well, you're not supposed to use them in the car, but everybody damn does. I was at the Bowie Town Center this afternoon, and... somebody almost got run over. Hey, Colt, how are you?
Hey, how's it going?
It's going well. I'm glad I got somebody else to talk to here now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
but so what kind of thing?
Oh, I was going to say, last week I tuned in and nothing but dead air.
Well, last week I had to get a new sound card for the computer.
Oh, geez.
Yeah, nothing ever works right, but now I got a decent microphone and
okay.
Everything's working all right. I'm going to get a mixer as soon as I get another job.
Okay.
Yes, I'm a bump in Obama's road, still. Actually, I've become a pothole. maybe a flaming jet dryer, like at the Daytona 500. I don't know if you saw that last night.
I saw, heard, you know, Mitney's his response on NASCAR, and it's like, come on, dude.
I don't know what everybody said. I don't think that was such a bad thing to say.
Who do you
think he's going to know? The pit crews?
Well, of course he doesn't know any. He's probably never been to a NASCAR race in his life. I mean, come on. That's not him. You know? that is funny, though.
Everybody's surprised when they hear that I like NASCAR.
Well, you know, I mean, I watch it on occasion, too. I'm not, like, a huge fan, you know, because...
But, you know, that guy, that guy who was driving the car, you know, they mentioned that he won an Indy 500. But what they don't ever talk about is why he's probably a former IndyCar driver.
Oh, yeah.
He had won the 500.
Yeah.
And then the very next year, he's on the pole. And they're in warm-ups. You know, and everybody's just going back and forth to get the tires warmed up, you know. They're going about 120, 130 miles an hour around the track, getting the cars ready to go. And all of a sudden, he just loses control of the car, hits the wall, and wrecks it. Last night, he's passing the jet blower. He just loses, he claimed the car just, claimed the same thing at Indy, but, you know, $1 million car, he just loses, not paying attention, he smashes it into the wall. I would like him to win a Indy 500, though, because I don't know if there's anybody that's won, the Daytona 500. I don't know if there's anybody who has won Daytona and the Indy 500s.
Yeah. I'm not aware of any.
Looks like Romney's winning everywhere tonight.
Yeah, I think I saw him up 10,000 votes, 3%. So, but, you know, one of the things that he does, and he's just not aware of it, you know, is, you know, he talks about money. And this is where all the criticism comes in, you know. When he says, oh, my wife's got a couple of Cadillacs, and I don't really know much about NASCAR, but I know some of the team owners, you know. and
my best friends are team owners.
But see, the thing is that, you know, in some circles, you know, it's considered rude, you know, to talk about or brag about what you have. And I don't know that he's necessarily bragging. But it sounds that way.
Especially for a Mormon.
Yeah. Well, they truly believe that, you know, the wealth and holiness or the blessings of God are all related, you know, that. So, well, a lot of Christians and Protestants think that way, too, I believe, you know.
The frauds sure do.
Yeah, well, but see, you know, we'll say like on the Motley Fool. Now, we talk about stocks and gold and real estate and what have you all the time. But at no time does anyone say, I have 10,000 shares of this or 50,000 shares of this. Because now you're talking about money and it would appear as you're bragging, you know. Because some of the investors only have a couple thousand dollars, you know, and some of them are millionaires. We don't know who's who, but, you know.
The Motley Fool.
Yeah. So you never want to.
How much time do you spend on the Motley Fool every day?
Oh, I'm on and off there, I don't know, maybe half a dozen times or so, you know. Because the blogs are continuous. There are people constantly writing, you know.
And do you follow them with your cell phone?
No, computer, laptop.
Oh, okay.
Well, no, I wouldn't think of doing any of that on a cell phone or even an iPad. I want a screen.
Why?
Because I like a 17-inch laptop. I want to see everything.
Yeah, but why?
Because it's necessary.
For what?
I use multiple windows. I can't do that on a cell phone, you know.
Well,
I've been
adjusting everything to use on my cell phone.
Yeah, well,
everything.
You know, I mean, I understand that, you know, having these tiny little phones is convenient because it's small and portable, but that's it.
Hey, come on out there, anybody, 347-945-6713. It doesn't appear to be much drama in the races, so we're talking about cell phone use in schools and other places.
Yeah. Well, let's put it to you this way. When I had my, my list, the stocks I follow, well, there's 200 stocks there. And it's in a window that's constantly moving. So, you know, you just can't do these things on phones. I mean, you can't do them on tablets. Even there, it's just too small.
Are you a day trader?
If you want to really keep an eye on everything, you know, there's a lot of information coming through. And, you know, if you want to see it, it's got to be at least, a certain point size to where I can read it from a sitting position.
Is that your dog?
No, it's a dog on the other side of the fence. Barks all the time.
Are you outside?
Yeah.
Has the sun gone down yet?
Oh, it's just about done.
Yeah.
The sky's a little bit, you know, white.
Right, it's staying out. Yeah, it's staying out here now till, well, between, it's after 6 now anyway.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
So that's about 6:30 out there, right?
Yep. Yeah, there's a storm coming in. It'll probably hit around 6 in the morning. And so we'll get some rain. Not a lot.
So how far are you from Seattle?
Oh, a hell of a long ways.
Okay. I didn't think San Francisco was that far.
Oh, that's a good hike.
Right,
and,
San Francisco.
And we're actually
across the bay, right?
What's that?
San Francisco's just across the bay.
Yeah, that's on the, you know, I think we're probably still parallel, you know, but the I've never really mapped it out. It's got to be a good 600-700 miles, something like that.
Oh, okay, because the National Association of Independent Schools are having their convention in Seattle this year. And, of course, we know who the keynote speaker is.
Uh-huh.
Billy Gates.
Yeah, so...
I'm just trying to get another job.
Mm-hmm.
Just keep from having to draw that Social Security for as long as I can.
Yeah, that's, you know, I don't know. I mean, do you have 35 years in?
Yes.
Oh, okay, well, then you're pretty good, you know.
But... I don't want to take it when I'm 62 if I don't have to.
Right. Although, I mean, from what I've heard, the majority of retirees, something like 60%, take their Social Security early.
Right. Well, the problem, you got to live an awful long time to make it to come out ahead taking it early.
Well, no, it's the opposite, actually.
Well, you got to live a long time.
Yeah, well, if you're
taking it early.
If you're 65, you retire at 65 or 66, and let's say you live to 80, then you make more money. And if you're 60,
right.
And if you're 62, I think the break-even point is like 76, and then you lose money from that point on.
Oh, it's actually a little past 76 for me.
Hmm. So, I mean, you know, a lot of it has to do, I mean,
well, the good thing
I would
for
say,
me,
you
one
know,
of the complicating factors for me is that if my wife holds off till she's 60, you know, to the right time, then we're definitely ahead because if she dies, I get hers.
Right, exactly, yeah.
If I die, she keeps hers.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's a good thing.
Yeah, well, after my dad passed on, now my mother has my father's Social Security.
Right.
Which
she
was
a bigger one, right.
Yeah, so she got a nice raise out of that, which is good because she really needed the money, you know. And
good for
her. I'm glad for that, you know. But
yep.
But, you know, the primary thing for most people is, one, your financial condition. You know, some people, they just need the money. It's that simple. And the other is your health, you know. So,
right.
You gotta,
well,
so if you look
if
at that and say, well, you know.
If
hey.
You're 62 and you have, you know, one of the big diseases, you're out of your mind if you don't take
well,
it.
Well, of course, yeah, you got to go for it, you know, so. Some of that, now, you know, I mean, we don't know the future of Obamacare, but a lot of that I think is going to change, you know, should that actually become an operational system.
I think Obamacare is here to stay, folks.
Well, you know, I'm actually one of the people... let's say, wonky-ish enough to actually go read some of it. And it's actually all out there. I mean, if you really want to look at it. But here's just a brief assessment, and these are approximations. But pretty much it's like this. If you're, let's say you make $15,000 or less, you go into Medicaid. No question. You just go straight in there.
Uh-huh.
If now, let's say you make from $1,500 to $1,750, you have to buy insurance, but you get the subsidy. Either they will make the payments directly, or you can get it in the form of a tax credit. And that will equal 95% of your cost.
Uh-huh.
And then it's sort of prorated up from or down from there. If from $1,750 to $20,000, it would be 90%, and so on and so forth, 85%.
I just, I'm not going to mention it, but I know a guy just got an operation. The secondary surgeon's bill was $300,000.
Oh, man, wow.
That was the secondary surgeon.
Yeah.
That was the assistant.
It's crazy.
You know, I mean, and these doctors do five of those a week.
Yeah, yeah. Of course, they don't get it. I mean, they get their share, but they don't get, you know, it's the
no,
hospital.
No, that's the doctor's fee. That's the doctor's fee.
Really?
The hospital fee was another $300,000.
Holy Christ, that's insane.
You know, I'm sure the operation cost well over $1 million.
Yeah, that's, oh, man. I mean, I've heard, I mean, I know my mother's care over the last couple of years probably well in, you know, several hundred thousand at least, you know.
Right, but
yeah,
I mean,
over a lifetime, and especially during, you know, your older years, yeah, that's got to run into incredible amounts of money, you know.
Right, and actually, they'll take, I think they'll take 80% of it because that's what the health care will pay.
Mm-hmm.
But still.
Well, I don't know.
You know, I mean, when does it become, what's the point?
Oh, you mean where they just say, well, it's too much, or, well, I don't know when they say it's too much. I mean, you know, obviously experimental treatment and stuff like that. Or sometimes doctors determine that it wouldn't do you any good or you wouldn't survive or what have you, you know. But, I mean, there is a stopping point, you know.
I guess. I am baffled by it.
Yeah. Yeah, well, you know, I mean, government and insurance agencies really do actuary tables and determine, you know, those sorts of things that we don't like to talk about. Say, you know, what is a human life worth? You know, that they ask questions like that. And, you know, some of it, for example, there are people out here advocating a digital camera in the back of automobiles, and the idea
and
that,
why is that? Yeah,
and that is because you know, a certain number of people are killed every year from people backing up in driveways and not knowing who's behind them, and it's often children, you know.
Oh, yeah, parents run over their kids all the time.
Well, you know, I forget what the actual numbers were. It's obviously very infrequent, you know, but it does happen. And so, anyway, there are people within the health department and transportation department who are advocating these cameras, and they have a display on the dashboard.
And, you know what?
And
I
they run...
Say.
They'll run $200 to $400. You know.
If that was an option, I'd sure put it in my car. The only accident I've ever had was backing out of a parking space into a car, waiting to take the space.
Oh Jesus! Yeah. Well, this mostly has to do. I mean, it's mostly kids. Because they're the ones that are going to be, you know, in the blind spot. You know, they're going to be shorter than the hood of the car. You're not going to see them. There's just no way, you know, if they're back there.
Hey, here's one from Ed Schultz. Wait a minute. I got to get this out on the air.
Oh, okay.
Parents are so stupid that they back the car out of the driveway when they don't know where their kids are. They should be run over. Keep those people out of the gene pool.
Oh, for God's sake.
It's not like a Nazi.
Yeah.
That was a joke, folks.
Right. Well,
the joke says one of the biggest frauds of the Michigan campaign was that Rick Santorum was a labor guy.
Right. But see, here's the thing. Is this device going to be an option or is it going to be mandated? In other words, and see what they're pushing. What they're pushing is they want every new car from 2014 on it'll be mandated that you have these devices, the camera and the display screen.
I don't know. Maybe,
you know,
I say everybody should have to drive an electric car.
Well, I don't agree with that.
Why not?
Because it's impractical.
No, it isn't.
There's not, the infrastructure isn't there.
It's the only thing we allow to be, Chevy Bolts.
That's a car that nobody wants.
That's not true.
Well, then how come they only sold 9,500 of them?
Because that's all they made.
Yeah, it's funny. There was a story on television today with the... part of the stimulus package was to put these charging meters in all the public garages downtown through there. There's like 120 of them. And they find half of them aren't used, you know.
Well,
of course, there probably aren't enough cars, but in the other, but these parking spots stay vacant because they're for electric cars only.
Oh, really?
Yeah, yeah.
Well, the Nissan Leaf is an interesting car because it's just pure electric.
Yeah, actually.
But it has no range.
Right. Well, that's part of the problem, you know.
But the Chevy Volt has the little motor that turns the generator to keep your battery full.
Mm-hmm.
And it's got a range of about 400 miles.
Oh, well, that basically works for the kind of driving I do.
It's got a 9-gallon gas tank for the generator motor.
Yeah, what's the horsepower?
Oh, I think it'll go 80 miles an hour.
80?
What's the matter with 80?
That'd be hard to get used to.
You go faster than 80?
Well, I like to have the power there to, you know, to get ahead of people or merge.
Why?
And all that sort of thing. Because I need it.
For what?
When you're getting on a highway. Sometimes you gotta gun it to get into space because people won't let you in, you know.
Well, I don't think I've driven my car faster than 80 five times in the last year.
Yeah.
I don't know if my Jeep goes 80.
Yeah. Oh, my.
Oh. No, it does. I love my Jeep. It's just, you know, a gas guzzler.
Hmm. Well, my speedometer goes up to 180, so I assume that I can do all that if I want to.
What car do you have?
Oh, my little Landshark, the Tiburon.
Oh, 180. Jeez.
Yeah, I was kind of amazed, too. And when I first went to the dealer to, you know, test drive it and that, I was pretty impressed. Boy, I mean, just tap that thing and boom, boom, you know, it was pretty.
What's the fastest you've gone?
Oh, I've had it up to around 100 at the most, I think. I don't drive like I used to, you know.
I went 135 in the Porsche once.
Mm-hmm.
Just to see.
Well, of course.
It almost blew up.
Oh, okay. See.
I mean, that was actually the tachometer was approaching red.
Mm-hmm.
But when that Montoya's car hit that damn jet engine, and it just erupted like, oh, it reminded me of the World Trade Center.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, that was a little, four-cylinder, dual carburation.
Yeah.
And, well, it had to have some speed in it. I mean, I know the Porsche owners didn't think it was a real Porsche, blah, blah, blah. But,
well, some of them didn't, but they're still, all over Europe, they race them still.
Mm-hmm. Oh, of course.
Oh, I should dog.
Yeah, I know. I hate that thing. It's not a real bad dog, but it's alone all the time, and that's why it's barking at anything, a leaf, you know. It doesn't matter what it, you know. But I call them once in a while and let them know, you know.
So what do you think? Should we let cell phones in schools?
If you can find, tell me. What use they have in a school? I guess that's the question, huh?
Well, I can tell you, I'll just use yesterday as an example. When that nut kid started shooting up the cafeteria.
Mm-hmm.
The cell phones recorded the whole thing.
Oh, well. How many of those kids were filming it? I mean, I would think they'd be running. You know? Now,
there's always somebody who'll take out the phone.
I mean, I can see where the kids would call their parents to say, you know, I'm okay and all that.
They did all that, too.
Mm-hmm.
Three of the kids are dead now.
Yeah, I saw that on the news. And this kid, I don't know, he's like in remorse, and I apologize. I'm so sorry. Well, what happened 24 hours ago? I mean, you know.
Well, the sad part of it is he's going to turn 18, and they're going to let him out of jail.
I heard that they're, you know, thinking of trying him as an adult.
They won't.
I don't know. I mean, he's in this little tiny town, and this is a big deal, so, you know. yeah, I don't know. I mean, you
he's
know.
A nut that case.
Yeah, well, exactly. That case is going to, you know, you're going to bring in all kinds of psychiatrists and this and that, and we're going to review his whole life. He obviously had a troubled home life, and so it'll
come to a lot of people, you know.
Oh, of course. Yeah.
I don't like to hear that. Oh, I got a troubled home life. So do I.
Yeah, well, we all had our whatever issues.
A lot of guns start shooting people.
Yeah.
I mean, isn't this the first kid they've ever, like, caught? Don't they, haven't the other ones all shot themselves?
Some did, some didn't, you know. I mean, at Columbine, they killed themselves, but...
But there have been
numerous other cases.
There's great stuff written about Columbine, and I've read it all.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know mandatory schooling in the United States is less than 100 years old?
No. Mm.
It was not until 1918 that going to school was mandatory everywhere in the country.
Hmm. Well, we had to have an educated workforce. The only way to do it. And once we ended child labor, you had to put them...
About hearing about that. You didn't need to be educated to make steel or to work on an assembly line at Ford.
They had to know how to read.
Maybe.
At a minimum, communicate with the other workers.
There were a lot of people at the steel mill didn't know how to read.
Yeah, well, I met a lot of people in the Army who didn't know how to read.
Exactly.
They were still good soldiers, but they, you know. So, but, you know, another point I was going to make, once you pulled all the children out of the factories, where were they going to go? You put them in school.
Well, I mean, that's one of the arguments that's made. And the factory owners were talked out of using children to work because they could pay them lower wages.
Mm-hmm.
And that made all the grown-ups mad. So then people convinced the factory owners that if they let these kids be educated, they would teach them how to take orders.
Mm.
You know, and stay in neat little rows, and when the bell rang, march.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, there was that whole thing, too. You know, the socialization, so that you could function in a society, you know, march in rows and wait in line and what have you, you know. Because they certainly weren't learning that at home. So, I think we have to understand that there were social engineers back then, just like there are now, and they had vision. And they had a vision for society that, you know,
it was just beginning.
Right, of course. Now, a lot of it we, you know, even today, certainly disagree with. I mean, the thing that's going on now with the meals at schools, where they got to come in early to get breakfast, then get lunch, and then stay late to get a dinner snack.
Yeah, now you come in early, you're liable to get shot.
Well, you know, the thing is that, you know, where do the parents fit in then, since all of the meals are being provided at school? From what I understand, a lot of these kids get home and then they eat again. Just how it is, yeah.
Well, see, when I went to school, they always had, you could always buy donuts in the cafeteria in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
We had lunch at school. I mean, that's when you had lunch.
Right.
And most people brown bagged us.
Yeah.
Although they had a cafeteria line, I think it was 35 cents.
Mm-hmm.
The same as bus fare.
Right. 35, yeah, if I remember, it was something like that, too. That got you the tray.
35,
with all
45. When I was a little kid, it was a quarter.
Uh-huh. Well, a lot of people, you had your bag lunch, but then you wanted to buy milk and maybe dessert.
Right, you bought lunch rather than carry one of those glass thermoses.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I used to eat my bag lunch and buy a whole nother lunch and hope I'd get to the bus stop before the bus pass ran out.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, that's right. Bus passes. Well, I had one in high school, but, you know.
Right.
Yeah. Yes. Fond memories.
Yeah. Hey, well, it doesn't look like, let me see if there's anybody in the chat room, because it doesn't look like anybody's calling. I thought I had pissed enough people off yesterday on the show I went to listen to that some of them might call tonight.
Hmm.
I got on my Bill of Rights bandwagon.
Oh, all right. Yeah,
wait, why can't I find the chat room? Oh, there it is.
Yeah.
No,
well,
you
did mention something about morality in your Facebook.
You know, all this, you know, I was thinking, if you're a Catholic, you know, what's the worst sin? Using contraception? Having sex? Or not using contraception and having an abortion?
Well, are we just going by Ten Commandments?
I don't know. Go by any commandments you want.
Well, I think, if the commandments are all mortal sins, and so clearly adultery would be the equivalent of murder. Same punishment, right?
Yeah, you know what? That's right, hell.
Yeah. And abortion would probably fit into the murder category, I'm assuming. But not being a theologian.
Well, you know, I mean, and then there's always, Santorum, you know, his name means of the holy.
Oh. Well,
Santos is holy.
That's not what it means on Google.
What does it mean on Google?
Do you remember when he got into a rant with a radio host? With that gay radio host. So, anyway, the radio host set up a plan to where he described Santorum. He said, give me the filthiest description you can give me for the name Santorum. And so everybody did. And so it's the number one entry for his name. And Santorum means, I'm going to describe this. The residue from the mixture of fecal matter and lubricant as a result of anal sex.
Oh, my God.
So if you look up the name Santorum on Google, that's the very first thing that shows up. I'm not kidding. A friend of mine told me about that. I looked it up. I said, what the hell? How did he do that?
But, I'm going to Google Santorum right now.
But, you know,
Santorum, Santorum. Urban Dictionary. Oh, my God.
I know it. I saw that, and I thought.
The sometimes frothy, usually slimy amalgam. Oh, my Lord.
Yeah, I know.
This is a kid-friendly show. We're going to have to leave that.
Yeah, I had difficulty just thinking of the words, but,
I'm never going to be able to look at them again.
But that's going to be there, like, forever.
Yes, it is. Who put that there?
Well, like I say, it was this radio guy, and he asked all his listeners to help him out, and they did, and there it is, you know.
Wow.
So, that.
Well, the one thing, I would love to play with QR codes in classes, and cell phones are a great thing for those.
Mm-hmm.
They're a great survey tool.
Mm-hmm.
I'd like to. You can make movies with them.
Mm. Oh, okay. Well,
you can make podcasts with them.
Oh yeah, yeah.
You can do a radio show with one.
Right. But don't you think you still need a PC? I mean, as far as editing and special effects, all the enhancements, credits and that sort of thing.
Oh, it's really interesting. There's several all cell phone video contests going on across the country with significant prizes.
Mm-hmm. Well.
You know, in the Academy Awards, a movie from the 1920s, essentially. You know, we can forget about the whole thing. I can't believe they didn't give anything, hardly, to the Stieg Larsson movie.
Mm-hmm.
I love that movie.
Yeah.
It was pretty grim, but I loved it.
Ah.
Well, all you guys listening out there, tell your friends to go get the archives, and please tell them to call next week. This is the last show in February, and we're trying to put things together for the Norman Knight Cross Country Excursion.
Oh, that on this year?
It's looking better and better, and plus I got word into Chevy asking for a Bolt to take across the country.
Oh, there we go.
Document trip on the internet.
Mm-hmm.
From Washington to Anchorage.
Yeah.
But I don't know if they're going to do it.
Well,
but anyway, I am going to check out of here. Thanks for calling, and it always makes for a better show when there's somebody to talk to.
Mm-hmm.
And remember, if it's Tuesday, it's Norm at Night. See you next week.
Okay, take care, man. Good night.
Bye-bye.